Welcome to Shir and Targum and Parshas Pekudei. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Lydia Ritter for Refuah Shleima for Blima Bas Zlata. Certainly we must spell for Refuah Shleima. It's also sponsored by Simchon Aviva Mermelstein, marking the yard site of her sister, Chaya Sharon Bashraga Feigl, the Neshama Shel Evan Aliyah, and also as a Refuah Shleima for Michal Baschana Rivka, and those who need Refuah Shleima should have it, and Lehavdil, the Neshamas, should have an Aliyah. Okay, so the parasha starts off Eilef Kudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdos. These are the countings and the reckonings of the Mishkan. The way the Targum Onkelos puts it, Ilan Minyane Mashkano, Mashkano de Sa'adusa. This is the counting of the various elements associated with the Mishkan. Asher Pukar Api Moshe. It was overseen and counted by Moshe Rabbeinu. Avodas Halavim Biadi Samar Ben Aaron HaKohen. The work of the Levium was in the hand of Isamar, the son of Aaron HaKohen. What is the meaning of that last phrase? Avodas HaLevium B'yad Isamar Ben Aaron HaKohen. Meaning, the first part of the Pasuk seems to be introducing the rest of the Sedra. The whole rest of the Sedra, or at least the beginning part of the Sedra, is talking about a compilation and a calculation of the different amounts of precious metals and the like that went into the construction of the Mishkan. So, Eila Kudei HaMishkan. What we're about to read is an accounting ledger. It's going to be a reckoning of the various different items that were assembled in order to make the Mishkan. Okay, fine. Eila Kudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdos Asher Pukar Abi Moshe. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was assigned to make that reckoning. He was maybe the Jewish people's first accountant, that he was doing the accounting, he was doing the books to make sure that everything that was involved in constructing the Mishkan was done, properly in the right way. Good, but then what's the second half of the pasuk? Avodas HaLevium, the work of the Levium, Biad Isamar Ben Aaron HaKohen, was in the hands of Isamar. Where does that come in over here? Why are we talking about the Avodas HaLevium? Why are we talking about the work done by the Levium? What exactly does that have to do with the context where we're talking about the accounting and the reckoning that Moshe Rabbeinu performed in terms of making sure that everything was collected appropriately for the Mishkan? So the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel adds a single word over here to his translation, which is not in the Pasuk itself. It's not a literal translation from the Pasuk. But this one word gives us an insight as to how to interpret the Pasuk. He translates Ilin Minyane Maskalavan Usachomhon de Mashkana. These are the countings of the weights and the sums that were involved in the making of the Mishkan. The Ismanil Alpu Memru de Moshe, they were counted based on the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Biram, however, Puchon Levoi, the work of the Levium, Havis Biyadod Isamar Bar Aaron Kahana. However, he adds that word Biram, however, the Avodas HaLevium, that which the Levium did, that was overseen by Isamar. So in other words, according to the Yonasan ben Uziel, the Pasuk is actually setting up a contrast. You should know that the reckoning and the accounting of the amounts and the sums that were brought in to make the Mishkan, that was all overseen by Moshe Rabbeinu. However, when it comes to overseeing the avoda of the Levium, what the Levium did, that was overseen by Isamar. Now, what exactly is it that the Levium did that was overseen by Isamar as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu? So here we turn to Rashi, and although Rashi doesn't reference the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, it would seem as if Rashi's interpretation is in line with the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Rashi writes, Avodas HaLevium, Pekudei HaMishkan V'Kelov, the oversight of the Mishkan and its vessels, he avoda hamasura lelevim bamidbar. That is an avoda that's given over to the Levim in the desert. What exactly is the oversight of the Mishkan? So Rashi writes, loses to carry the parts of the Mishkan, ulahorid to dismantle the Mishkan at the appropriate times, ulahakim and to assemble the Mishkan at the appropriate times. In other words, the physical labor was overseen by Isamar. That's Avodas HaLeviim. The Avodas HaLeviim, the physical construction and deconstruction of the Mishkan, that Isamar oversaw. That's different than what Moshe oversaw. Moshe oversaw the accounting that was involved in the Mishkan. Moshe had his role, and Isamar had his role. And Rashi writes, continuing, Biad Isamar, it was in the hands of Isamar, Hu haya pakid aleihem, Isamar was the one appointed over the construction and deconstruction of the Mishkan, Limsor l'chobes of Avodah She'olov, to share with every family among the Levim the specific activities that they were supposed to do in assembling and disassembling the Mishkan. So in other words, again, according to Rashi seems to be going in the approach of the Yonasan ben Uziel, who adds the word Biram. However, the Pasuk is setting up a contrast. Moshe Rabbeinu oversaw the accounting of the Mishkan. Isamar oversaw the actual assembling and disassembling of the Mishkan. Each one oversaw an aspect of the Mishkan, but we shouldn't confuse the two. Now this is interesting that the Pasuk sees fit to even make this point, because the truth is, nothing in Parshas Pekudei deals with the constant assembling and disassembling of the Mishkan. So in other words, it's sort of like a side point that seems to really come out of left field, so to speak. We're about to read a Parsha that's going to describe how Moshe Rabbeinu is going to take a full accounting of everything that was taken in to make the Mishkan, and we're about to go through, you know, this amount of gold, and this amount of silver, and this amount of this, and this amount of that. So, you know, just be prepared for that. Oh, and by the way, just in case you were wondering, the actual assembling and disassembling of the Mishkan, that's overseen by Isamar. Who was talking about the assembling and disassembling of the Mishkan? Why are we even talking about this at this point in the Sedra? So, one answer might be, at the very end of the Parsha, it says, Vayokem Moshe es HaMishkan. The first assembling of the Mishkan takes place by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So perhaps the Pasuk at the outset is just making the following observation. It's true that if you read Parshas Pekudei, you'll see that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved not only in the accounting aspects of the Mishkan, but even in the physical assembly of the Mishkan. But that's a yotzei dofen, that's an exception to the rule. He did it that first time, but subsequently throughout the Midbar, whenever the Mishkan would travel from place to place, it was Isamar and the rest of the Levim who oversaw that. Don't be confused by what you're going to read later on in the Sedra. That might be a way of interpreting what the Pasuk is telling us over here, but it still seems like a very funny place to make that point. In other words, if you're going to make that point, if that's the reason that you're saying that Isamar was generally involved in overseeing the construction and the destruction of the Mishkan, so you should make that point by Vayokem Moshe es HaMishkan. You know, when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu assembled the Mishkan, so you should put in a pasuk that says, and by the way, that was only this one time, usually it was done through Isamar. It seems like still a strange place to make the point over here. Perhaps one can suggest that the Torah, according to Rashi and the Yonasan ben Uziel, is really giving us a blueprint for how leadership is supposed to work. You would think Moshe Rabbeinu oversees the accounting of the Mishkan. Clearly Moshe Rabbeinu is the most capable person in Klal Yisrael, I would imagine, for everything, right? He's the top of everything. And he's a Levi to boot. So just as Moshe Rabbeinu oversees the accounting of the Mishkan, it would make sense that Moshe Rabbeinu would also oversee every aspect of the Mishkan. Put the accountant in charge of everything having to do with the Mishkan, accounting, construction, you know, disassembly, put him in charge of everything. And here, from the very beginning of the parasha says, the ideal kind of leadership is a certain diversification. Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, he's in charge of a very, very important thing over here, making sure that everything was collected, properly, they had the right amounts of everything, no penny went missing, incredibly important. But as great as Moshe Rabbeinu was, says the Pasuk, there's still room for other people to be involved. Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't be singularly involved in everything. Another aspect of the Mishkan was delegated. And there's value to that. In other words, if one person is going to be in charge of everything from soup to nuts, not always, you know, the best kind of arrangement. Even a Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, delegates part of the the taking care of the Mishkan to an Isamar. Maybe that's the lesson which is being shared over here. We should note that if we look in the Rishonim, not all of the Rishonim agree with this interpretation of the Pasuk the way that Rashi and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel understand it. So, just to give an example, so the Das Zakenim Ubali HaTosfos writes as follows. What's the meaning of Biyad Isamar? So he writes, Afal pi Moshe Rabbeinu memuna al hakol. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of all of the accounting related to the Mishkan, making sure that every penny that came in was accounted for, Hutzrach limnos Isamar imo. He nonetheless had to have Isamar working together with him. Working together with him in what? In the accounting department. It was an accounting firm, Moshe and Isamar. Right? Sounds like a good Jewish accounting firm. Moshe and Isam are accountants. Right? The two of them had to be accountants together. Why? Lefishein osin srora al atzibur b'pachos mishnayim. So Das Zakenim quotes the Gemara. If you're going to be in a position of leadership over the community, in other words, you're supervising the intake of money and counting the money, we don't want one person alone to be in charge of the accounting. We need checks and balances. We need at least two people who are going to oversee the inflow of money into the coffers of the Mishkan. So Moshe and Isamar were working together, says the Das Zakenim Ubali HaTosfos. Right? So that's a different interpretation than Rashi and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. According to Rashi and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, Avodas Halavim B'Yad Isamar Ben Aaron HaKohen is telling you about what Isamar did in overseeing the construction and the deconstruction of the Mishkan. According to the Das Zakenim, so Isamar was working hand in hand with Moshe Rabbeinu in all of these pekudim, in all of these accountings that were taking place in the beginning of Parshas Pekudim. What's left a little bit ambiguous, according to the Das Zakenim of Bali HaTosfos, are the words Avodas Halavim. In other words, really, what the Pasuk should have said is Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus Asher Pukar Alpi Moshe. These are the accountings of the Mishkan that were counted by Moshe. Then skip the words Avodas Halavim and just go straight to Biyadi Somer Ben Aaron HaKohen. It was Pukar Alpi Moshe Al Yadi Somer. It was done by Moshe Rabbeinu with the assistance of Isamar. That's the point, according to the Das Zakenim Ubali HaTosfos. What are the words Avodas Halavim? You know, what do those words add to our understanding of the Pasuk? They seem to be totally superfluous, according to this interpretation. Perhaps the words Avodas Halavim are meant to say, you should know that Isamar was a good person to bring into this partnership with Moshe Rabbeinu, because in any case, he was involved in overseeing the work of the Levim in a different context, so he was the right man for the job. Maybe that's what it means, but again, that's the question is better than the answer. In other words, you know, the words Avodas Halavim have to be understood a little bit better, according to the Das Zakenim.
He took the motion, and by the way, afterwards, he was responsible to supervise the taking of the
food. Right, so something like that. In other words, he wore two hats. You know, two Cohen hats, right? But again, it's a little bit bumpy, you know, in the pasuk in terms of its interpretation. The Ramban has a similar interpretation to the Das Zakenim. He writes that all of these accountings, you know, whereby Moshe Rabbeinu was counting up, you know, the monies that came into the Mishkan, Hakol Nosan Moshe B'Mispar B'Mishkal B'Yad Isamar. That's the language of the Ramban. Moshe Rabbeinu gave over all of these items to the coffers of the Mishkan B'Yad Isamar through Isamar. So in other words, the way the Ramban understands the Pasuk as well, Moshe and Isamar are working in concert with one another in order to supervise these funds that are coming into the Mishkan. Also, it's not talking about what Isamar does in a different context. It's focused over here, like the Das Kenim, Mibali Atosvas. Okay, so that's just right in the beginning of the Pasha. We then find, as well, an interesting single word in both the Targum Unculus as well as the Targum Yonosan Ben Uziel, which is suggestive of a certain picture which we may not have had previously. You know, the truth is much of Parshas Pekudei is a chazara, it's a review of things that we learned mostly in Parshas Tetzaveh and a little bit in Parshas Truma before. You know, so a lot of the Targumim are really also chazara, they're really review of things that we had before. But there's one word in particular which is used which doesn't have an analog in the earlier Parshios. Right? So in Perek Lamed Tes, the Parsha is describing the making of the Bigdei Kahuna, of the various garments worn by the Kohanim. So it says, Perek Lamed Tes Pasuk Chavches, V'eis ha-mitznefes sheish, the mitznefes, the headdress of the hat of the Kohen Gadol, should be made from sheish, from linen, ves pa'arei ha-migba'os sheish. The word mikbaos refers to the hats, the headgear of the regular Kohanim. Those mikbaos should also be made out of sheish, out of linen. But here the Pasuk adds a word which didn't appear back in Parshas Tetzaveh. Pa'arei ha-mikbaos. The word pa'arei is related to the word pe'er, which means the glory. So the Pasuk literally translates as the glory of the hats should be made out of linen. What's the glory of the hats? The splendor, the beauty of the hats. So Rashi over here writes, Tiferes ha-mikba'os, literally that means the splendor of the hats. So Rashi reinterprets it to mean ha-mikba'os ha-mifu'aros. The word pa'arei does not mean, it's not a noun. In other words, it's not the splendor of the hats, but rather it means, it's an adjective, it means the glorious hats, the beautiful hats. So pa'arei ha-mikba'os, according to Rashi, means the beautiful hats which were worn by the Kohanim. It's a little bit difficult to understand. First, just on a grammatical level, the phrase pa'arei ha-mikba'os seems to be a possessive, meaning, you know, it's the glory of the hats, not the glorious hats. You know, there's a difference between a possessive and an adjective. But also, even if, you know, we put that aside for a moment, you know, the Kohanim wore a lot of clothes. The Kohen Gadol wore 8 clothes. And we don't find that the Torah starts waxing poetic about, you know, the Kohen Gadol's beautiful choshen or his beautiful me'il or, you know, any of the other clothes of the Kohen Gadol. So now, all of a sudden, not even with regard to the Kohen Gadol, but with regard to the Kohanim Hediotos, with regard to the regular Kohanim, all of a sudden the Torah is saying, oh, and they had such beautiful hats. Pare HaMikbos, what beautiful, glorious hats they wore. What does that add to our understanding of the hats? They wore hats, okay, showing. You know, like, why do I need to have a description of how beautiful the hats were? So if you look in the... If you look in the Targum Unculus, he translates this pasuk as follows: V'yos matznafto devutza, the mitznefes, the hat or the turban of the Kohen Gadol was made out of linen. V'yashvach kovayaya devutza, and the shvach kovaya, the beautiful part of the hats was made out of linen. Right, the way the Targum Unculus seems to present it, it seems as if we're describing a certain part of the hat, the glory of the hat. There was a thing called the glory of the hat, which was made out of linen. The Yonasan Ben Uziel similarly talks about Vios Bartsuf Kovayo Devutza. The Bartsuf, which is again an unusual word, but it seems to be translated as the glorious part of the hat was made out of linen. What's this glorious part of the hat that we're talking about? So the Oz V'Hadar commentary, both on the Targum Unculus as well as on the Targum Yonos HaMenuziel, refers us to a Chizkuni on this Pasuk. The Chizkuni quotes a tradition from Rav Hai Gon that there was a kaftor, a button, on top of the hat. And that button was beautiful. You know, it added to the glory of the hat. And when the Pasuk talks about Pare hamikbaos, the glories of the hat, it's not just describing that the hats look nice, but that was a specific technical term for this button that sat on top of the hat. It added prestige and a sense of being distinguished to the hat itself. What did this button look like exactly? So, whether this is correct or not, I'm not sure, but what I'm sort of picturing in my head is the old chazan hats, which many of us may remember, you know, the chazan with the high hat, with the pom-pom, you know, that thing, you know, sitting in the middle of the hat. Why did they add that pom-pom? I guess they thought it made the chazan look distinguished. Now, why they thought the pom-pom made the chazan look distinguished and not foolish is another story, but the idea behind it was it made the chazan look like, you know, you wanted him to be the chazan. Right, that's true. Right, Enochinami. Why do they have the button in the middle? It makes it look nice, right? So the source for that is not just somebody's sense of fashion from the 1800s or early 1900s. It sounds like the source of that might be a pasuk in Chumash, according to the Rav Hai Gon. You know that the hats of the Kohanim had some kind of, again, the lashon is some kind of button. Or, you know, maybe, I don't know if it was a button like a yarmulke or a button like you know, the pom-pom. But in other words, there was some kind of thing in the middle of the hat that made the hat look nice, that made it look distinguished. That idea of having that thing in the middle of the hat, according to Rav Hai Gon, goes back to the Pasuk in Chumash itself, that the Kohanim of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, and later in the Beis HaMikdash, on their mikbaos, had these pa'are ha-mikbaos. They had these things in the middle of the hats, you know, to make the hat look polished and distinguished in some kind of way.
This thing comes from the Torah giving us the description of how it was supposed to be done, or was this done by the people who made the hats, and it was like the designers of the hats put it there, or is it part of the instructions of when you made that, how to make it?
Well, so it's interesting. So back in Parshas Tetzaveh, when it describes the begadim of the Kohanim, it doesn't mention anything about it. It's only mentioned over here. Having said that, I think it's inconceivable to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command them to put this thing on the hats and just, you know, Bezalel and Moshe Rabbeinu on a whim one morning said, you know what, a pom-pom would look really nice, you know, in the middle of that. The details of the Mishkan were so precise and down to the letter. I think we have to assume that anything that's being described in Parshas Pekudei was given by the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, essentially, that's what it says at the beginning of the parasha. Asher puka al pi Moshe, you know, al pi Hashem. Everything was, you know, based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's description. But it is striking that it's not mentioned back in Parshas Tetzaveh. It's only mentioned over here. But that, according to Rav Hai Gon, is what's being described here in the Pasuk, that there's some kind of button, or maybe a big button, you know, on top of the hat. So, you know, we see that this idea of style isn't something that they just made up 150 years ago. It sounds like, you know, if you wear a yarmulke with a button on top, you could always say, I want to follow the pasuk. You know, that's what it says in the pasuk, makes the hat into a beautiful hat. It's just an interesting little twist, which may or may not be hinted at by the Targum Unculus, but, you know, certainly may come through, you know, in his translation of the pasuk, Pare Hamikbo, Shvach Kovaya, you know, the beautiful part of the beautiful aspect of the hats, you know, that may be what's being referred to over here. Let's just briefly take a look towards the end of the parasha, Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. It says, "Vayoviu es haMishkan el Moshe." They brought the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, and then the subsequent pesukim describe at great length all of the different aspects of the Mishkan itself. Why did they bring the Mishkan to Moshe? What was the point of bringing the Mishkan to him? So Rashi brings a Medrash Tanchuma, where the Medrash says as follows. Why did they bring the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu? Shelo hayu yecholin lahakimo. The Jews were unable to erect the Mishkan on their own. So they brought it to Moshe Rabbeinu, who miraculously was able to actually put the whole Mishkan together. They brought it to him basically in bewilderment. We put we made everything, but right, exactly. Here are the parts. Help us out. We don't know what to do with it. So that's why they bring them to Moshe Rabbeinu. It would seem from the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel that the purpose of bringing the parts of the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu was different than the way Rashi describes from the Tanchuma. Here's his description. Vayisil yasmashkan olivas Moshe. They brought the Mishkan to Moshe, leves midrashe, to the Bes Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting and learning in the Bes Medrash. Dahavu tamon yosven Moshe ve'aron uvnoi. Moshe, Aaron, and his sons were sitting and learning together in the Bes Medrash. Vahava mitarej slahon sedar kohunta. And Moshe Rabbeinu explained to them the order that the Kohanim are supposed to engage in. In other words, it's not that they couldn't physically put the Mishkan together. You know, Rashi is describing from the Tanchuma that they couldn't pick it up, they couldn't put the parts together, but they wanted to make sure everything had been done properly. They came to Moshe in the Beis Medrash, and they showed him the parts, and they said, you know, did we do it right? You know, before we start constructing it, we want to make sure that we did everything correctly. It's going to be a big patchka to take the Mishkan apart, you know, if it turns out that we did something wrong. This idea that they wanted Moshe Rabbeinu's approval on the parts also comes through from another medrash in the Tanchuma. Nichnasu kol Yisrael eitzol Moshe. The Jewish people went into Moshe Rabbeinu. Amru, Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol Moshe omar tolono wasinu. V'harei kol ha-malacha lefanecha. We did everything you asked us to do. Here are the parts. Shema chasarnu shum davar ovitarnu al kol masha omar tolonu. Re'ei hakol lefonecha. Did we leave anything out? Did we make anything extra? Did we overlook anything? Take a look before we assemble it. And similarly, the Oz V'Hadar quotes from a passage in the Zohar where he says, Tochazi bahu zimna da'oki Moshe yasmashkana. Come and see when Moshe Rabbeinu put together the Mishkan. Istakel b'chol inin avidon. He took a look at all of the things they had done. V'havad k'dekoyos. And everything was done properly. Which fits the sense of the psukim. The psukim go on to describe every single part of the Mishkan. So why are you describing every single part of the Mishkan? The answer would seem to be, according to this interpretation, because it's saying they brought the Mishkan's component parts to Moshe, and he looked at this, and he looked at that, and he looked at this, and he looked at that, and he said, check, 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 you did everything correctly. And then that fits beautifully with the very end of that perek, Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayar Moshe's kol hamalacha. Moshe Rabbeinu takes a look at all of the things they had done. V'hine osu osu kasher tziv Hashem kein osu. They had done everything as Hashem had commanded. In other words, all the boxes checked off. You know, the quality control. We're ready to go ahead and actually put the Mishkan together. So Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a bracha. You did everything correctly. Now it's time that you can feel confident assembling the Mishkan. Okay, Rabbi Chananah.